Psalm 51, please. Psalm 51, begin reading in verse 1. David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Our Father, we thank you this morning for the blessed privilege it is to read once again from your holy, inspired, unadulterated Word of God. We thank you for this privilege to stand in this pulpit to exalt our Savior. Lord, we ask today that every word that said bring honor and glory and praise unto Thee. I need Thee. Oh God, I need Thee. I pray for the divine touch this morning that Lord, you would receive glory. Save that one that's near as hell. That child of God that may be walking a distance. I pray that you would bring them back. And I pray for the saint of God that's already stirred. Continue to move as only you can. We thank you again now for this privilege in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe with all my heart and with all my soul that the need for this hour is preaching. I don't believe that we need drama clubs. We need a deliverer. I don't believe that we need entertainment. I believe we need intimacy with our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. I do not believe that we need to heed what the world says. We need to hear what the Word says. I do believe that we need not pressure from peers, but we need preaching from the precious Word of God. As one begins to study the Word of God, very quickly you come to the conclusion that God has everything that we need to walk with Him, everything we need to go through every valley that we are ever entrusted to go through, every situation that we'll ever come up against, we have the answer for it in the Word of God. I am thankful this morning as we look at this psalm that is before us. It is a psalm that has been called a penitential psalm. Not penitentiary, but a penitential psalm. That is a psalm that David is calling to God with a repentant heart. As a matter of fact, it's in the 7 psalms that we see of this caliber in the Word of God. When you begin to read Psalm 6, Psalm 32, Psalm 38, Psalm 120, Psalm 130, and Psalm 143, you'll find that Psalms 51 takes the capital letter organization. It is the psalm that we can look at, that we can glean from much of our walk with God to help us day by day from beginning in the morning till we lay our head on the pillow at night. It is a psalm that God can help us with as we begin to walk with Him. I know the interpretation is to a saint, but the application can very well be to a sinner. And as we look at this psalm this morning briefly, I want to remind you first of all that David is a son, first of all, before these words are penned. Then David is a shepherd. As David is a son and David is a shepherd, we find that David has private battles that he has to deal with as well as public battles. I am talking to people this morning that you know what it is to deal with private battles. It's no doubt in my mind some of you here today are going through private battles of your own. But I remind you that when the lion comes and when the bear comes, thanks be unto God because you are a son, you can get through that battle. Then there are, of course, public battles that we face every day of our life, far as the world is concerned and far as others are concerned. But I'm glad the same God that's with you in your private battles is the same God that's with you in your public battles. I know the battle is the Lord, but He's working through us to get it done. And I'm thankful this morning that we have that promise from Him. You'll also find that David is a soldier. I'm saying this for a reason. You'll see in just a moment. David is not only a son and not only a shepherd, but he is a soldier. You and I this morning have been drafted into the family of God. You say, well, I volunteered. You volunteered because He drafted you. And I'm thankful this morning, thank God, that we are a soldier in His army. And He does not send us out into the battle without the proper armor. We'll not deal with that, but you look at Ephesians chapter 6, you'll find all the armor you need to fight every public battle and every private battle that you'll ever go up against. David is also a sojourner. He's walking through this world not only as a son, not only as a shepherd and a soldier, but that's his sojourn. You and I this morning are on a sojourn. Or we're walking through the valleys, on the mountaintops, and everything we're up against is a walk with our dear God. But then we find that David was a sovereign. That is, he was a ruler. He was in charge of some people. He was in charge of other things. And he was a sovereign man. Yet he was a man after God's own heart. But saying all of that, and we could preach these things this morning, and we could shout it out, and we could run around the building, we could swing from the chandeliers, we could crawl up in the choir, we could shout and we can sing and praise God for every one of these things that He's done. But I remind you, with all that's said and done, he was a sinner. Don't you ever lose sight of the fact that although you are a son, God delivered you from being a sinner. And as David pens these words and begins to talk to us about it, we find that David shows us his confession. His confession is seen by David saying, Lord, be merciful to my need. If I had a title to hang on this morning, it would probably be, Oh God, I need help. David is saying, I need help. Yes, I've been a soldier. Yes, I've been a sojourner. Yes, I've been a sovereign. But God, I need you. I need your help to help me through this day. I need you to help me along the way. He says, I am very sinful and I am very sorry. I cannot escape the ghost that haunts me and the guilt that horrifies me. No doubt I am talking to people this morning that guilt haunts you because of your past. Could I help you right here? I want to tell you that if God's forgiven you, thanks be unto God you are cleared. If God has forgiven you, you do not have to worry about being guilty. Oh yes, we were guilty before God deserved to go to hell. But I'm thankful this morning that God has cleansed and made me whole and set my foot upon the solid rock. He's put a stone in my heart and a spring in my step and given me something, thank God, to live for in this day that we are in. David is confessing, and he says, Dear God, be mindful of my name. I was born in sin, and because of that, I am blinded by sin. You and I this morning were blinded by the God of this world, and because we were sinful creatures, we could not see the great God of heaven and what He had in store for us, but we would just call upon His name. Thank God there was a day that He removed the blindness, and He reached down and picked us up and done that for us, which we could not do for ourselves. David not only says, Here's my confession, Lord, I need help. David says, I need cleansing. He tells us in the psalm that he wanted the Lord to deal with sin's defilement, and he does. He wanted the Lord to deal with sin's deafness, and he does. He wants God to deal with sin's disgrace, and sin's damage, and sin's doom, and sin's depression, and sin's defeat. For that's what sin does. Sin will defile you. Sin will deafen you to the Word of God. Sin will disgrace you and damage you and doom you and depress you and defeat you. And David says, I never shall forget the day that you delivered me from along the way. But I'm asking you, dear God, never let me forget where you brought me from. Although I'm headed to the right direction, I know that I'm still a sinful creature. I know that I still have a sinful nature. And I know that I can mess up. As a matter of fact, we're going to see in just a moment how he did mess up. But David had walked with God. He was a son. David had walked with God. He was a shepherd. David had walked with God. He was a sojourner and a sovereign. Yet he is a sinner and he messes up good time because he gets his eyes off of God and gets them on the world and a woman. Matter of fact, this psalm is dealing with his sin with Bathsheba. This psalm is dealing with his great sin that he spent over a year without hearing from God. That God was silent. That's the reason he could say these words, that God had turned a deaf ear to him, and David could not hear from God, did not hear from God because of his sin. And David did not get things right, but when he did, thank God, God spoke to him again. Then David's concentration will be seen in the light that he would not forsake. David says, oh, I sinned. Oh, I got away from you. Oh, Lord, I left you. I left the things that I rejoiced so much in. But dear God, I'm glad that I can still preach. I'm glad, dear God, that you straightened me up and you forgave me and I can still pray. I'll continue to preach and I'll continue to pray. And that not only his concentration on the lessons, he would never forget the personal truth that he learned and the prophetic truth that he learned. Thank God for what a psalm this is. There's no doubt who the author of this is. Let me say the writer of this. The author, of course, is God. But there's no doubt who the writer of this psalm is. David is the writer. David is the one that talks about him getting right with God here. The author on the occasion of this psalm has never been questioned, or should never be questioned, because it's very evident that David is the writer and the occasion is his sin that he committed, that he wished to God that he had not have committed. As we look at this sin with Bathsheba and his confrontation with Nathan the prophet, Nathan comes on the scene and begins to deal with David. God's got a way that he uses his men to deal with situations that need to be dealt with. When the preacher opens up the Word of God and preaches to your heart and the Holy Ghost tags you, it's not that he's been over to your house eavesdropping, it's that the heavenly Word of God penetrates the heart where it needs to be, and the divine drawing power of the Holy Ghost will get the job done to show you what needs to be done. The background of this psalm is 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 2 Samuel chapter 12. I asked you, if you will, when you get a chance, read that. Not while I'm preaching, but read that when you get home, and it'll show you the background of what this message is built upon. When you look at 2 Samuel chapter 11, you find that the sin is committed. When you look at 2 Samuel chapter 12, you'll find the sinner is confronted. And let me say, when sin is committed, you will be confronted. And so David commits the sin, and then the sinner is confronted. Psalms 51, we see the sin is confessed. And so the confession of the sin takes care of the sin because of the one that he's confessing to. I want to say this without being mean or nasty or throwing mud. God never intended for you to go to somebody dressed like mama and want to be called papa and talk to some man about your sin. Thank God he's the only one that can take care of your sin. He's the only one that can cleanse you. He's the only one that can turn you around. He's the only one that will see you through. Psalms 51 shows every transgressor the way home. Aren't you glad, thank God, that you can get home when you leave? There's a way that we can get back to God. Now, let me say this. I got a whole lot to be letting me say this morning, so listen very carefully. Psalms 32 should be read in connection with Psalms 51. Psalms 32 is the results of Psalms 51. These are not chronologically arranged, but we do find that David committed a sin, and then he tells what took place in Psalms 32 because of what's being said in Psalms 51. And so as David is doing this, and he's on his way home, it's the greatest psalm, I believe, that's ever been written. Though it was penned over 3,000 years ago, it's as timely as though it was given to us this morning. Although 3,000 years ago this sin was committed, it's still being committed today. Although 3,000 years ago God cleansed a saint, he's still cleansing saints today. Although this was a thing that David did back way back yonder, we can identify with what's going on right in our churches this morning. And so we have this word that God has given to us as God gives it to us fresh and anew. Every Christian here can relate to the psalm because at one time or another, we have all needed forgiveness. That's the reason I'm calling it, oh God, I need help. At one time or another, we had come face to face with the fact that we need to be restored. At one time or another, we've come to the place that we got cold and indifferent on God, or we got away from God. No matter what the situation that brought it, is that He's not as close to us, it seems, as He once was. We do not hear His voice as we once did. And so we need a fresh, a new renewing. We need to call upon God, and there has to be a confession that's made that God, the only one that's moved, it's me. You're right where you've always been. You are still God, and you have not changed. I'm the one that's changed. And so David is calling out to the God of heaven that he needs forgiveness, and God will take care of him. Every one of us know that we violated God's will at some time or another. We may not have committed the same sin that David committed. We may not pray the exact same words that's recorded here, but we have all known the anguish expressed here. Be not silent unto me, O God, lest I be like them that go down into the pit. I don't know about you, and this is not braggadocious, but once you've felt the touch of God, and once you've heard the voice of God, and once you've eaten of the grace of Esther, you'll not be at home in Egypt. And I want to say, once God speaks unto you, you want to hear His voice daily, hourly, momently, every moment of the day. I wish I could hear the voice of God. Someone said, you think people are like puppets. I would to God we were like puppets. I would to God I could be so close to God. I'd be so attached to Him and had so much of God running in me that I would be like a little puppet that when He says jump, and I would have to say ha ha, He would do the pulling and show me what to do. This psalm, it's simple. I guess that's the reason I like it. It's not that we don't understand. We understand too clearly. This psalm is simple in that the writer does not beat around the bush. He gets right down to the point and states the facts very clearly. I have sinned, O God. I am a sinner, O God. I need to hear from you, O God. This psalm is not only simple, it is singular. This is a personal plea. This is not a plea for the nation. This is not a plea for the president. This is not a plea for a congregation. This is a personal plea. So it's a personal psalm between this writer, David, and the God of heaven. Aren't you glad He's a personal God? This psalm here shows there's no excuses made and no one else is involved. It concerns a man who has sinned and the God whom he has sinned against. Could I say to you this morning that that's what your sin involves? Oh, someone says, well, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. Oh, you're not. Yes, you are. For the Bible says no man lives unto himself and no man dies unto himself. And I remind you this morning, child of God, if you're here and you've been saved by the grace of God, you've got an obligation to God, and it's your responsibility to live clean, to live pure, to live right, that others may be hungry and thirsty for what you have. This psalm is not only singular. This psalm is not only simple, but this psalm is sincere. In these sincere words, the psalmist is dead earnest. He's not trying to impress anyone. Thank God he meant business. Oh, God, deliver us from a bunch of men in our day that try to impress people in one place and another place and try to be something one place and then there's something else somewhere else. I'm glad that my God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if I'm representing Him, I will be. These words do not originate in the head. These words originate from the heart. You may be sitting here this morning and have a head knowledge. But how about your heart? You may memorize Scripture and quote Scripture, read through the Bible two or three times a year. So what? That means absolutely nothing to the God of heaven if your heart's not right with Him. This psalm is not only simple and singular and sincere. This psalm is a shining example by setting forth that we all should do the same thing that David did in a similar situation. What is that? Well, with these thoughts that are before us, let me look at the order of this psalm and the perfection of the psalm. The first thing that I want you to look at in the message this morning concerning, oh God, I need help, is David appeals to God's grace. Look at verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitudes of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David here is appealing to God's grace. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. This word here, mercy, is the front range of God's grace. It means without deserved punishment or withhold deserved punishment. I am thankful this morning that God did not give me what I deserved. We had better shout it out before we go to the house that we did not get what we deserved. God's grace is sufficient, but God lets us appeal to His grace because God does not give us that which we deserve. I am so thankful this morning. Hallelujah for the mercy of God. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Thank God for the mercy of God. Thank God for the grace of God. Do you see what I'm trying to say? David was a sinful man. David had not heard from God. Heaven was silent to him. And David cries out after over a year of committing that sin. And he acknowledges God's grace. I don't know what that does for you, but I'm glad, thank God, that I can acknowledge God's grace. And God will not turn His back on me. And God will not turn His head on me. But God will let us reach down and reach up. And He will reach down and pick us up. He appealed to God's grace. Have you appealed to His grace? If you're walking far from Him, away from Him this morning, thank God that same grace that God saved you with is the same grace that sanctifies. That same grace that God reached down and done a work in your heart will reach down and do a work in your heart now. Thank God, I appeal to His grace. I need it. I'm just simple. This morning, I'm not trying to tell you something you haven't heard before. If you've been saved any amount of time at all, you know that you've got a God that you can appeal to. You know that you can appeal to the grace of God. But I never get tired of telling the story of the one that brought me from this old world to take me to glory. A soldier was found sleeping at his post during the French Revolution. He was sentenced to be shot, and on the day of his sentence, he was executed to be executed. His mother requested an audience with Napoleon. She came and fell at his feet and cried, "Oh, sire, I come to ask mercy for my son." Napoleon replied in a firm but gentle voice, "Madam, your son does not deserve mercy." She quickly replied, "True, sire. For if he deserved it, it would not be mercy." Napoleon stepped back, rubbed his cheek, pulled his ear, wiped his brow, walked around, paced backwards and forwards. What words can come to this conclusion? As he looked at that dear little mother, Napoleon stood and then answered, "In that case, madam, I will have mercy." Could I remind you this morning that we don't deserve mercy? If we got what we deserved, we'd be frying in a devil's hell. And you're listening to a Baptist preacher this morning that still believes hell's real. I believe hell is just as real as it's ever been. And it's a place where people die and go that's lost and undone without God. I believe this morning if you step out into eternity without Jesus Christ, you'll fry in a sizzling, poplin, crackling, burning, belching hell forever and never be released. But thank God because of mercy. I can swing across hell on a rotten shoestring. Spit in the devil's eye
and sang Amazing Grace and never worry about falling in. Why? Because, thank God, I appeal to His grace. Thank God I called upon the One that saved me. Thank God He done something for me that nobody else could do. I'm telling you this morning, you can appeal to the grace of God. I'm telling you this morning, He'll not turn you around. Thank God He'll pick you up. He'll not throw you down. He'll love you. He'll do that for you which no one else can do. Thank God for it, that we can appeal to a God that will not turn us away, but a God that will see us through and help us. Don't miss that little word, love and kindness. I know what I'm going to say after I said that. Let me explain it this way. As my little granddaughter, 3 years old, says, let me explain it. Says she comes in. She looks at Papa. And I just don't care if you like this or not. Whatever she asks Papa for, Papa is going to try to get. That's my privilege. Why do we let our grandchildren get through by with stuff that we would have killed our children over? I was asked that question by one of my children. I have no answer. I just know it's so. But if she comes to me, she hadn't been eating that good. It's not about 30 minutes before lunchtime. She comes to me and she says, Papa, could I have a peanut butter sandwich? And of course, Papa being Papa would say, well, certainly, honey. Mama would say, no, it's too near lunchtime. It's going to ruin her meal. Don't give it to her. But then Papa wants to show love and kindness because I want favor. So I reach up and I said, how would you like to have a little jelly with that? So my definition of the love and kindness of God, not only does He give you the peanut butter sandwich, but glory to God, He'll put the jelly on it. Thank God for the love and kindness of God. Thank God for a God that we can appeal to His grace. Thank God for a God that'll do something for us that we cannot do ourselves. You said, what in the name of God's a peanut butter sandwich got to do with your message? Everything! David takes a threefold view of sin. He looks at it like a debt that needs to be canceled. Look at verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitudes of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Whew. I don't know if you realize it or not. And if you do, I just want to remind you again. You had a transgression that needed to be blotted out. You had something that needed to be taken care of. That's the only, and the only way that you can get that taken care of, you can see now, you have to appeal to the grace of God. Blot out my transgressions. This is an act of revolt. It carries the idea of willfulness. I have willfully sinned against God. When we sin, we know what we are doing. When you sin, you know what you're doing. Someone says, oh, I slipped up. No, that's that old black heart. The reason you did that is because of you, who you are. Sinning does not make you a sinner. You sin because you are a sinner. So it's there. David says, I've got that innate nature, that wicked nature. See, when God saved you, you still going to carry that wicked nature along with you until you get to heaven. That's the reason he says to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I want to tell you, in our Baptist churches, this is a disgrace to God. The Holy Ghost of God is a foreign person. But He commands us to be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean, preacher? To be controlled by Him. You've got a debt to be canceled.
Isaiah 43, verse 25, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions, for in mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Thank God, I've got a God that does not have the capacity or the capability of forgetting, but He does have the capability of choosing not to remember. Thank God, hallelujah, He does not remember what I was. He sees me of who I am in Christ Jesus, my precious Lord. I had a debt that needed to be canceled. That's a good feeling. A whole lot of it go to the mailbox, open that thing up, look down at the end of that contract. Paid in full. Hallelujah. It even drives better. I'm glad that when God pulls the page, He won't do this, but if He did, if God pulled a page up and see what we used to be, it would be stamped with the blood. Paid in full. You owed a debt you couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. That's what David's saying. David's saying, I'm acknowledging the grace of God because I have a debt that needs to be canceled. He not only says that, but verse 2, he says, I acknowledged God's grace because I need a debt to be canceled, but a defiled robe to be washed. In verse 2, wash me thoroughly, not thoroughly, but thoroughly. From mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Notice who he's recognizing here now. My sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. It's me, O Lord. We can blame everybody under God's heaven for things that go wrong in our life and what we're doing, but the problem is me. Do you know who your worst enemy is? You! This carries the idea not of willfulness, it carries the idea of being warped and twisted. And we are warped and we are twisted because of our sins and because of what we do. Wash us, and we need that sin stains us. We are crooked and we are twisted, and that sin has stained us and defiles everything it touches. But that stain is never so deep that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot take care of it. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. As he's talking in this verse of scripture, Isaiah 1:18, he calls those sins as scarlet. He's talking here about an insect. But then he goes a little further and he says, though they be red like crimson, he talks about a maggot. And we've been eat up from the inside out because of the insect of sin and because of the innate nature of sin and because we were born sinners. So we need to be cleansed. We need a white robe. We need God to change us. We need God to help us. My debt's been canceled. My defiled robe has been washed. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let his return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God. For he will not just pardon, but he will abundantly pardon. I'm thankful this morning I've been pardoned, not paroled. If you're paroled, you still have a record. If you're paroled, they can go pick up your records anytime they want to. They can have a background check. It'll come out the day you entered and the day you entered out. You came out. But when you've been pardoned, thank God there's no record. Have you ever committed a transgress? There's no record. Have you ever been guilty of that thing? I say to you, we were guilty of sin itself and deserved to die and go to hell. But thanks be unto God, when God and when Satan goes to the throne and asks God for me, God says, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. He's been cleansed. He's been made whole. He's been washed. And then, not only does David say, we have a debt that needs to be canceled, I'm appealing to God's grace. We have a defiled robe that needs to be washed. I'm appealing to God's grace. But verse 2, also we have a disease to be healed and cleanse me from my sin. That carries the idea of weakness. We are wicked. We do it willfully.
We are warped, we are twisted, and we are weak in ourselves. David says, I acknowledge this before thee. As a matter of fact, that's the second thing that he does. He not only appeals to God's grace. In verse 3, he acknowledges his guilt. The reason many people don't appeal to God's grace is because they never acknowledge their guilt. David is acknowledging his guilt. He says, for I acknowledge my transgression, my willfulness, my revolt against you, my rebellion, and my sin is ever before me. That weakness, dear God, that I have, that thing that I wish I could get rid of, I'm acknowledging it before you, and you're the only one that can help me. You may be here this morning, you're fighting hell by the acre. You may be here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You may be here this morning, you've never called upon Him, you've never appealed to His grace. But I'm a firm believer of this, if the Holy Ghost don't do the work, you can call all day long, you'll never get in. But if He is doing the work, and He's doing the drawing, and He's showing you that you need Him, thank God He will in no wise cast you out. How can I know if God's dealing with me? You're here, aren't you? How can I know God will save me? Ask Him. How can I know if I belong to God? Call upon Him. How you can know it. The one thing that stands out in this psalm is David's total honesty in facing his sin. Only a work of grace can make you hate sin more than your own life, than that sin in someone else's life. I've been pastoring 37 years, pastoring 32 years, preaching 37 years, and I'm going to tell you this morning. One of the greatest lessons God ever had to teach this preacher, and still teaching me, and I'm still in learning, is that I must be very careful that my attitude towards sins that I don't commit because others are doing it, so my heart won't get so warped, so disoriented, that I begin to walk away from God and God not hear me because of my inward stuff and my rebellious attitude and my way towards them. By no means am I saying we belittle sin. By no means am I saying don't preach against sin. By no means am I saying, because I'm going to tell you, in another man's pulpit, I'm calm. But you sit under me in my pulpit, when the plier needs to go in the ground, punny, I put it in there. And a preacher ain't worth the salt that goes in his bread that don't deal with it. You wouldn't want a man that didn't preach against it. But we must be careful. You that are sitting on the pew, we that are in the pulpit, and all of God's children must be careful that we watch our attitudes towards things that we don't like and the sins that we hate and we abhor. That our attitude don't get so critical that we lose sight of the grace of God. Pagawa. I said this not to brag. I said this out of shame. I have sympathy for a drunk. I know what it is to pull the back seat of your car out to get the last quarter, not to get baby milk, but to get a can of beer. I know what it is to get down on my face and crawl to the door with a truck backed up to it and fixing to lose my family and everything I had. But the old boy could quit any time he wanted to. It didn't have hold of me. I had hold of it. I can quit. Well, why don't you? Why didn't I? I'll tell you why. Because God had to bring me to the lowest part of my life. And I had to acknowledge the grace of God and to admit my guilt. Yes, sir. That I could not do it myself. And God saved me. And when God saved me, thank God, that whole neighborhood thought the devil himself had gotten in. I was a wicked, sorry, low-down, good-for-nothing reprobate. I didn't deserve a thing God done for me. I still don't deserve a thing God does for me. But now, thank God, God doesn't treat me as a sinner. God treats me as a son. We acknowledge our guilt. Only a work of grace. Now, be clear of this. David did not merely hate the consequences of his sin. He hated the character of it. Look at verse 4. It says, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." What does David say in verse 5? "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin that my mother conceived me." We may wrong another person, but we can only sin against a thrice holy God. David's repentance reached its highest point when he recognized not only what he had done, here it comes, but what he was. What are you? What am I? Why do we do what we do? Why are we here? How much do you really love him? Have you thanked him in your heart for where he brought you from? Have you thanked him in your heart for what he delivered you from? Now don't get me wrong. Don't you get me wrong at all. I'm not trying to paint a picture about the more you sin, the more grace it takes. I don't care if you're sitting on this pew this morning, you were raised in Sunday school. You've sat under a man of God all of your life and your adult life, and you're sitting on the pew. I don't care how long you've been a church member, been baptized. I don't care. I don't care. You got to acknowledge your guilt before you can appeal to God's grace. And because you have an innate nature, you are a sinful creature. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must call upon Him in order to be saved. Takes just as much of grace to save one that hadn't done all that stuff than the one that lives a life of wickedness. He acknowledges his guilt. The wickedness are strange from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Thirdly, verses 6 through 12, I'll just mention this. Got sense enough to know when God's about done. But thirdly, David asks for guidance.
Yes, sir.
"Behold, thou desire truth in the inward part, in the hidden part thou shalt be. Make me to know wisdom." David recognizes the great principle that true cleansing is from the inside out. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, "For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." You see, God knows my heart. The greatest thing that helped me in my prayer life was this. When I get out to pray, God knows what's in my heart. I cannot tell Him anything. I can tell it all, but I can't tell Him nothing that He doesn't know. "Sin's defilement," verse 7, "purge me." Let me mention this. "With hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." David views himself as a spiritual leper. You read Leviticus 14. That'll tell you about the leprosy and tell you about the cleansing of the leper. Tells you about that leper going to the priest and taking two living birds and taking one of those birds and that priest killing one of those birds and putting it in that running water and taking that bird that's been dead's blood with that running water and sprinkling it on that living bird and taking them out and letting it fly away. Thank God, I'm glad that my sins have been taken care of because the bird has taken it away, that God's wrath was on me. But God no longer looks at that now for what He's done. Leprosy is a sin that comes from the inside. You're here this morning, you're a sinner because of the inward work, not because of what you do on the outside. And then sin's deafness, verse 8. "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." The first fruits of sin is loss of joy and gladness. Let me ask you this morning, how much joy do you have? "The joy of the Lord is my strength. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." The joy that only God can put there to help you. It's a joyful thing that we can serve Him, that we can worship Him, we can praise Him, we can do it. You better thank God this morning. It's a joyous occasion. You can come to Liberty Baptist Church in Bowden, Georgia, and sit under such a great man of God as God's put over this congregation to give you the truth every day of your life. When you come, you know you're going to get what you need. You know that you can appeal to God's grace. You know that you can acknowledge God, your guilt. And you know, thank God, that you can come to God for guidance. And you'll get it from the Word of God by the Spirit of God. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sin and blot out all mine iniquities. David says that's sin's disgrace. The only way God can hide His face from sin is to put away that sin and to put away the sinner. And I'm glad, thank God, that He didn't put me away. He put my sin away. Sin's danger. Look at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Whew, dear God. Sin not only affects God, it affects the sinner. So a sinning saint not only needs forgiveness when he's sinned, he needs an inward renewal, which God alone can do. Oh, thank God that God will stir you again. Thank God He'll help you again. Thank God He'll not leave you alone. If you acknowledge that and you come to Him. And as for His guidance. Verse 11. Cast me not away from Thy presence. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Now don't get upset. No New Testament saint need ever worry. The Spirit of God, if He's inside of you, you are sealed. He will never leave nor forsake you. I believe with all my heart and with all my soul, when God saves an individual, it is forever. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. But David was saying, right, restore the joy of thy salvation unto me. Then the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon men for service sake, for difference sake, for anointing sake, and different things such as that. But in the New Testament, the Spirit of God seals you and delivers you and will never leave nor forsake you. New Testament salvation, you're sealed. Service, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God and not be disobedient, but walk with Him. Thank God, I'm glad this morning for what He's done for me. How He takes care of me. And then there's sin's depression and sin's defeat found in verse 12. Verses 13 through 17, I'm going to quit. But you study this out on your own and you'll find here that David has anticipated God's glory. When you appeal to God's grace, when you acknowledge your guilt, when you ask for guidance, you can anticipate the glory of God. And thank God, you can actually get in on God's goodness. I'm anticipating God to do great and mighty things with His people. I preached this morning to the saints. But in the congregation, this lodge, there's no doubt in my mind, and I'm not playing God and not being the Holy Ghost, but there's no doubt in my mind I preached foreign language to some of you. Not speaking in tongues, but it's an unknown tongue to you. To some, you've hooked up. To some, you know what I'm talking about. To some, you've experienced it. You know exactly what I'm saying. But this is to the one today, right now, if you're here, and whatever, not being judgmental, whatever. But if you don't know that you know that you know that you're saved, you need to get in. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, what's that got to? I thought you preached to the saints. I did. But see, the application comes to you. You have got to appeal to God's grace to get any help. And you have got to acknowledge your guilt before you can appeal to God's grace. But thank God you can anticipate glory. Dear God, wouldn't it be good if the sweet Holy Ghost would just kick a keg of honey over on the backside of your soul and let it just flow down and get so sweet? I don't know what God wants to do this morning. I don't know how God wants to do this. I have no idea. But I'm for whatever He wants.